The Black History Month thing, I think it's yeah. But I was like, nah, it's still a way we can still find a way to celebrate us and encapsulate this space and time the best way possible.
Yeah.
So that's that. I guess we can go ahead and get started. Just give a little intro. What's going on, everybody? I'm Eric Boone Salvary. Welcome to the House of Boone. Celebration of Black excellence. Not too long ago, I thought of a way to celebrate my people, celebrate people I know, the movers and shakers, people who are out here trying, who are consistent, who are just out here doing the thing. I thought of my buddy here, Mr. Lena Anthony, who I've known for such a long time now, it seems like. We go back to Rutgers. We go back to a little bit before Rutgers. I was like, how did I meet you? I said, I remember I met you on the train one day. It was like some type of festival coming back from the city. And I was getting on your nerve. I was giving you a friend, and I sat down and I was having a conversation with y'all. And I was getting on your
Oh
nerves.
my God.
And then next time you saw me, I was on Rutgers at campus. And you was like, what are you doing here? You I was like, I go here now.
It was, yeah. I remember that day like it was yesterday. Absolutely.
I had to transfer to Rutgers. Actually, the day you saw me, I wasn't actually a student yet, but I transferred the next semester. I had taken a little break from school. I went to another school, took a little break, and but I had friends that were on the football team. I was trying to get on the football team, all that good stuff. So I was visiting, and then the next time you saw me, then it was like the Tillett days. I'm saying Tillett, and anybody who's watching this, if you went to Rutgers,
Specifically, Livingston campus. I'm gonna say Livingston campus.
Livingston campus is essentially an HBCU built inside a state PWI. I'm telling you, because now it's gentrified. They got high rise apartments
A movie
and
theater?
a movie
Not movie theater.
theater,
Crazy.
five star dining. You know what I mean? Like
They
what? Like
got
what we doing? Like are you
all that when we left.
right? But the struggle
Way
was
to take away.
when you was at Tillett, the only thing you can count on, to me, I don't know about everybody else's experience, the only thing you can count on at Tillett Dining Hall was breakfast. I knew breakfast, you couldn't, it was always going to be good, nothing. Everything else was like, I had to go to other campuses to eat. But beyond that intro, I've known Jelena Anthony for quite some time. She's doing a lot of things that gravitate and capture my attention, whether it be the fitness journey, whether it be the create the space event planning, business and space, you know what I mean? And I always respect, I think the thing that represent you as I'm giving you flowers early, is that excellence and consistency. I always see you're always putting your business out there, you're always letting people know, you're always creating events. Forgive me for not making it to any of them yet. And just being able to provide people with motivation, I would say. This podcast teeters between fitness and wellness, and then other things that other walks of life that I think mainly recently, I mean a lot, I see you consistently on the fitness grind, and sometimes I see you, I'm like, oh, I gotta make sure I get going, you know what I mean? And so Livingston was New Jersey A&T.
It sure was. Absolutely. You couldn't tell us
You
nothing.
couldn't tell us nothing. She is also a member of, I'm gonna let you introduce your sorority properly, because I don't want to mess it up and had a heat on my back. But you're also a member of
Now I want you to say it. No, I'm just kidding. Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated.
Incorporated. You know what I mean? And she you know what's crazy? Yesterday I did a live, and my good brother Reggie Foxworth, he's a Q. So you know what I mean? So now I got the Q's, got everybody. I know they all blend together somewhere, somehow we go hard for each other. I think that's one of the things I definitely know you for. If you don't know Jelena for nothing, she throwing up them diamonds somewhere in her pictures on her profile. She don't play when it comes to
Lifetime
that.
commitment.
And so I feel like that's a part of the Black excellence, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? And just consistency. But how you feeling today? How you feeling? Entrepreneurship, what's going on?
I mean, I'm good, you know. Today was a good day. I mean, I get excited when I'm happy, right? So like not every day is always like, a very like, I would just say joyous day. So whenever I can wake up with a smile, I take advantage of it. So today was one of those days. So I'm happy.
That's what it is, you know. I talked about it, I alluded to it in this the long intro, I would say. How much has your fitness journey contributed to your happiness? Because you get it in.
A lot, actually. I really use it to set the tone for my moods, like especially if I'm not, sometimes, because of being an entrepreneur, you just have so many things that are on your plate. And I also have a team as well, and so a team of brick and mortar, so it's just the stress of managing it all and still trying to have a personal life and still trying not to work all the time. And so a stress reliever for me has been going to the gym, regardless of how I feel. It's almost a guarantee that once I leave there, I'm gonna feel better.
Some endorphins gonna
It's
kick
gonna
in, and
kick
then you just
in.
like,
And so it definitely has played a major role.
you know, what's interesting with me is that, and when I'm not drinking my water, like once I get, like if I fall off of either of those two, whether it's the fitness or not drinking my water, enough water, I feel like my mood totally changes. Like I'll be crabbing, I'll be like, oh, okay, and I'll be like, nah, you know what it is, I'm dehydrated, so you know, my mind isn't all the way right, and then it's like the fitness, like even if it's, you know, I tell people all the time, like, you know, if you just starting out, if you just find 20 minutes to go on the treadmill, right? Just 20 minutes, you know what I mean? And don't half do it, you know, get on there and just walk. You know what I mean? Yeah, you're stressed. Just that 20 minutes is like, all right, at least I got something done, you know what I mean? With a couple calories. And I think the one thing that's lost is that neat factor, you know, that natural exercise activity that everybody used to have, where everybody's so used to sitting down and just sitting in the office all day, that you gotta get up and you gotta move. Can't be a slugger your whole life. But you're a busy lady. You decided that you wanted to open an event planning plus an event space business. Talk about that. What made you, what brought you to that journey?
So one thing I wanted to add about the whole fitness is making sure you get enough sleep. So I think that that has a big factor in it. But what made me open it up? Well, really, it started, I had my event planning and design business, which are really two different things, right? So I had that since 2016. I opened it up because I would say like starting in high school, I was always one to like I had friends that had children early, and so I was always putting together the baby showers and putting together events, and normally just have like this natural ability to kind of like take charge, I would say. And so really, I always wanted to do it, but I knew that it was going to take a lot of effort and commitment. And when I was in corporate, I was comfortable. Like I made a lot of money at such a young age, and I just knew that I was like, if I do this on my own, then that means that there's a level of commitment that I knew that I had to bring to the table that was going to make me satisfied. I wasn't ready to do that until I was in the HR field, and so I got to a point where I wasn't happy anymore. Like I felt like that I wasn't really being able, I wasn't able to give them my all. In HR, like the goal is to kind of be that middle person between the business and employees. And so I always had like a really great relationship with employees and helping them solve problems. But once I got to a point where I was kind of like desensitized to some of the things, I just knew that it wasn't for me anymore. I probably stayed there like another 2 years, but that's when I decided to start my business and just focus on, living a more fulfilling life, which was putting together events. So that's how I started the event planning.
That's funny. You know, you're talking about being in corporate, and then it flashed upon me. I forgot I saw you at, it was like an event, like a it was a Verizon, an AT&T event at Giant Stadium one time with
Verizon.
Odell Beckham,
Yeah, and I
and
got
we was
the
out there.
MVP.
I was out there coaching, and you was out there going hard. I forgot all about that, but it just dawned upon me when you said that corporate. What I guess things have you had to overcome in that transition? I mean, that first part of the transition from, all right, I'm leaving my job. Now I'm out here on my own, you know. And even though I have some experience with the baby showers and just doing stuff for the love, now I got to do this for the money, you know, and the love.
Yeah. So I think I would, I'm like hesitant to even say this because I don't necessarily recommend it unless you're a certain type of person, right? So of course, you know, the rule of thumb is that when you leave corporate, you should, and you have a business, I have my business part-time. So when it's time to leave the business, you should be making enough money, right? To take care of yourself. That's not what happened, right? So I've manifested a lot of things. That's number one. And so I just kept saying, like, I was like, God, I just, you know, I really would love to have a severance package. I would love to leave and all this stuff. And I kid you not, like, he created such, and I don't want to go into it because it's, I don't want to make it a long story, but he created such an opportunity for me, right? That I decided to leave. But I was still working, my business was part-time. And so I knew that once I left, I needed to put in work, work in order to make sure that I had a plan in place. I am 100% a planner, but I wanted to make sure I had structure in place. So that way, once I left, that I could still make the same type of money that I was making. So I did some research, looked into the Small Business Association administration, and then connected with this team called WCEC. And so they focused on women entrepreneurs, right? And so they had a program, it's like a fast track program where it's a 10-week course, and they took entrepreneurs of all different ranges. And you met once a week, I believe it was once a week for like 8 hours, and they brought in different subject matter experts in. So it was marketing, like we created our business plans, we did financial analysis, we did all these things. And that was when I realized that I needed to have a venue in order to live the lifestyle that I was at least used to. Okay, so I did my financial analysis. I was like, wait, unless I'm a designer or a planner for like a celebrity, which some of them don't necessarily pay, so I'm like, unless I'm a you know, designer for that, I'm not going to live the lifestyle. I could be comfortable, but not my level of comfort. And so I decided to, I put into the plan that I was going to open a venue. That was in 2018. And so I projected 2020 that I was going to open the venue. And I actually got the venue in 2019. Had no idea I was going to do it, but because I put it on paper, I said, this will make the most sense for me. And so I did that, and then the obstacles came because that's when COVID happened. So I used all of my money. I put it into this location that I'm in now. Definitely underestimated. Thought I was gonna spend about a good $20,000 just to make it look how I want. But because I'm extra, super extra, and I cannot help it sometimes, I ended up spending about $60,000. And right after that, the same week that I was supposed to open, that's when everything got shut down for COVID. So I used all my money. I had this venue that I was in debt with because I didn't have all that at the time. And, you know, I was going through some other personal things. So it was a big challenge. But I have like this thing where I like to focus on the things that I can do and what I can control, and not what I can't. And so, you know, I like to believe I'm a pretty bright individual. So I just started focusing on, you know, my intelligence, putting together like virtual events. I'm a hustler. They call me a jack of a lot of different trades. So I can do a lot. And I just found different ways to make money, all while still promoting my business here and putting together like the structure. So when it did open, that I wanted to hit the ground running. And that's pretty much how that happened.
I would agree. I definitely would agree. You're a pretty smart person. That's crazy that, you know, I'm starting to find myself in the track of people who started stuff in 2018 and 2019, mm-hmm. and then 2020 happened. And that's another part of, I guess, Black excellence, because you survive. You know what I mean? You're still here, you're still kicking, you're still going, despite any other obstacles that are coming into your space and your way. How would you say the one that pre-part-time, you know, those baby showers and all those things that you were doing for, plus your corporate experience, prepared you to be an entrepreneur? Because I think sometimes people get lost in the I hate my job, instead of realizing that there are some things that you can take from those spaces and add it to your own to become your own boss,
right?
So on and so forth.
So, well, first I'd say, like, the small baby showers, like, the way I started and I got experience was, of course, like, family and friends, right? And so I remember the very first one that I did, I believe I did it for free. That may have been when I first started, and she just paid for the material. But that's how, because I did that free event, I ended up booking a wedding, right? And then pretty much because of that wedding, I ended up getting about three weddings and like two baby showers from that one event. And the funny thing was, is that, you know, sometimes people see more in you than what you do. So I remember the first wedding, the bride was like, oh, I think, you know, I used to make, I still make them sometimes, but I would make bridal bouquets. And she wanted this bouquet. She said she didn't want flowers. She wanted feathers. And it was just different. I was like, yeah, I don't know if I can. And she's like, yeah, I believe you can. I was like, wait, what? I don't even know you. She's like, no, I believe you can. And I said, all right, like, if you believe it, then. And, you know, so I ended up making it and started. That was a major part of my business at the time. But I would say, like, those baby showers allowed me to be creative in terms of, like, you know, I'm a creative what I like to see, but being able to communicate with other people and getting an understanding of what their vision is, like, that takes a special skill too, right? Because not your style may not be the style of your clients. Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to, you know, capture their vision in order to, you know, be able to execute what they're looking for. And then on the corporate side, I would say that is really how I'm able to be successful. Right? Because, you know, there are so many creative and talented people who have businesses, but if you don't have like the business background, I think it's a challenge because you don't know how to expand. Right? And so because I come from a corporate setting, I was in leadership when I was at Verizon. I know how to lead a team. I know how to coach. I know how to do, I know how to come up with development plans. Like, I know how to do all those things because I spent 12 plus years in a corporate setting. And so being able to bring all of those, you know, transferable skills over to my business, that's why, you know, a lot of times, even if you Google, like, people would say create that party, you know, they're very professional. You know, the thought process that I have is, you know, how could I treat my business like a corporation? Because I can't just, like, the end goal is that I want it to be, you know, of a certain caliber. But in order for me to get to that point, I have to make the steps now in order to get there. So
that's fire. Creating an event is a difficult task. You know, I sat there and I listened to you, and you were talking about how you did one event and it spiraled into a wedding. You know, part of, you know, our many hustles, you know, as they say, in a good way, that I do. Photography is one of them. And I remember one time, I don't know what I was thinking. Somebody asked me to do a wedding. They were trying to save money. Their budget was, you know, whatever. I did the pre-wedding photos, the wedding, the bridal party photos, and the reception. I will never do that again by myself. Ever.
And you probably didn't charge a lot, right?
I charged them $700. And no, I charged them $600. And I said, and they did this. Now, the wedding was inside, but they had this wedding. I forget what year it was. It was the hottest day of the summer. And they did the bridal party pictures outside in a park. I will never, ever. I understand why people have a team. Two people ain't enough. Please, people, if you're doing a wedding, you know, just pay, you know, what it costs, because you got to pay that, and then you got to edit the photos, and then you got to make sure that the photos is right. And so that was a long day. That day started at 10 in the morning and then into 10 at night. They got their money. They got They got the discounted rate. And I was just like, oh yeah, no problem, whatever. And I'm thinking it was gonna be a small thing. That was a day. But one thing I learned about that taught me was about capturing details, every detail that mattered, trying to capture every detail. Now, I'm just a part of, in charge of an image. You're in charge of curating an experience. Mm-hmm. How do you make details matter and how, like, in that space, in that spectrum of everything?
So one thing that I do is I'm a very visual person, right? And, like, because one of the things that are super important to me is the experience. So that really only happens if I'm involved in, like, the planning portion of it. When it's the tour, then it's something different. But if they hire me for planning, one, I get to know the person or the people. I think that's important because I get to find out what's important to them, right? You know, if there are any key people in there that they want to impress or that they want to make sure is close, like, it's really about, like, at the end of the day, I truly do get a satisfaction out of making people happy. I think that people just, you know, we work so much and everybody works very hard in whatever field they're in. So when it comes to my field, right, it's like they don't have the time to get those experiences that they're looking for because they're so busy working. So if I can come in and curate an experience for them that is memorable, then that's what my goal is. So in order to do that, the background is having several phone calls with them, spending time with them, you know, being able to hear their background stories on, let's just say if it's a wedding, how did they meet? What are some hiccups? And just like, how do they respond to certain things? So I would say that I pretty much I invest in the person to get to know them and their family and think about like I play it out in my head. So I think about, like, what does it look like when the clients come through? I like to do walkthroughs so I can get that vision too. When they come in, what is it that they're going to see? What are they going to hear? What are they going to smell? So thinking about all of that and putting it to one, and then also making sure that the vendors that I choose, you know, that they're trustworthy, that, you know, that they're going to give the same level of excellence that I expect, right? And that I give. So it's making sure that I build those connections with my vendors because they're also a part of the experience too. So it's not just about me. So I think that all of those things are super important when making sure that my clients get the experience, and that's how I'm able to really execute it. And so if there are any hiccups, then those hiccups are I would say very minor because everything else has, like, surpassed their, you know, their expectations. So
favorite type of event to do and the type that you'd be like, oof. This one, I'm not going to put hard in front of it because, you know, creating something in somebody is always going to have a level of thing. But what's the one that just makes you go, okay, I got to put this together?
So the favorite would be weddings, even though I think that they are the most work. I just love them. I love how the end results are. I love seeing those special moments between people. Like, it's beautiful to me. So that's what I really enjoy. In terms of what I don't really feel like that there's an event that I don't really care for. I think it's just kind of like tapping into different parts of me. Like, for a while, I didn't do kids parties only because I just wasn't getting them. And then over the last year, I would say I got a lot of kids parties, and it just allowed me to tap back into
COVID babies catching up to you.
I just tapped into, like, you know, I worked at a daycare center for, like, majority of my high school years. So it just allowed me to just tap into that part of it, and I enjoyed it again. It allowed me to be, you know, loving the babies again. So I can't really say that there's a event that I don't like to do.
I don't want you to not like it, but, you know,
I think just it's the people. I think it might, like, if there's any experience that I don't necessarily enjoy, would be if the client is difficult. And I do a really good job at handling difficult clients, but I think sometimes, you know, some people, and I try not to take it personal, but some people might not just be happy with where they're, I don't know, they're just not happy. And sometimes they that transfers over. At the end of it, we always end up, it ends up being smooth because I just come back with, you know, my normal personality. But, you know, sometimes, you know, I could take a beating, you know?
Is it hard to have those, you know, sometimes, again, photography, training, whatever it is, how hard is it to have those conversations? Or have you come, here's a better question. Have you come to the place where you're comfortable enough, even sometimes with money being a factor, you know, you want to be busy, to just be like, nah, this isn't for me. This event, it's not necessarily that I can't do the event, but this isn't for me. I'm not your guy or gal in your case.
Yeah, so I would say that really, once, like, because I do this full time, like, I work hard. Like, I work hard around the clock. Like, even when I'm not physically moving, my brain is moving. I wake up answering emails. And so I think it came, like, really, it what got me more comfortable is respecting myself. Mm-hmm. To say that, Jelena, you put so much energy, time and effort and passion into this, right? You know, you have, and also you have, I have this venue I have to take care of. I have my own person. I have bills that I have to make sure that I pay. And so at the end of the day, I had just had to create boundaries, because once I realized that, you know, if I was taking everything, and they weren't necessarily paying what I needed them to pay, the only thing that was happening was that I was getting burnt out. It wasn't no longer fun to me anymore. And I still wasn't able to pay my bills. But now, when I created boundaries for myself to say, I'm only going to do this, or really I develop packages for people that may not be able to pay a certain amount, where it made the most sense for me. So it's like, how could I find like that middle ground, right? So, but yeah, once you got to pay these bills, you learn real quick to say, you can't do it all. Can't do it all.
What are a few things, you know, everybody, you know, like I said, a lot of people start the way you started, you know, a baby shower here or a birthday party here. We went to Party City, got a couple napkins, created a little dope atmosphere, or got the big letters or the big numbers. And then we said, all right, you know, and then somebody gave you a compliment. Oh, this is nice. You should do this for a living. But you stuck with this. You part-time to full-time. But what are a couple things that you say you would want to give somebody advice on if they wanted to get into this event planning space full-time or part-time?
Full-time. Well, I would say that, what advice would I give them? I would say that if you're not ready to put in work, then just don't do it. Like, especially if it's full-time, right? Mm. Like, if it's part-time, and let's just say if you have the means, let's say if you're with a partner, and you know, bills are not a factor, or you got that part handled, and maybe it's more of a hobby that, you know, you're taking some time to build into position or into a business, then, you know, you have a little wiggle room. But if you're going to do this full time, it really is about the hustle, right? Also, if customer service, like in my field, this is all about a social gathering. So you have to be able to communicate with people. And I would say that, you know, especially as a Black business, we already have like a stigma on not having the best customer service, right? Or not coming to the table professionally. And so, in my opinion, I think that in order to kind of still wow our own people, right, you have to make sure that, like, you master that level of customer service. And if you can't do it, if maybe, like, I'm a social person, so I'm always talking to people and I enjoy doing it. But if you're not that kind of person, then you need to find somebody that could help you and be on your team that is like that. Because especially in this field, you're not, like, your reputation, it means a lot. And there are a lot of talented people out here, meaning like that they could put together a beautiful event. So can clients. There are so many talented clients that could do that themselves. But what's going to, in my opinion, what separates you and allows you to move along further and be able to make a living off of this is if you know how to talk to people, you have that customer service, or somebody on your team could give that experience. And then also, you know, I would say like invest in human capital, like invest in yourself, like educate yourself, invest in your skills, go to trainings. Like this is not just about, can you put together a balloon arch? Can you watch a YouTube channel that teaches you how to put together a table setting? It's about, how are you able to, you know, build your business? How are you able to figure out a bottom line? How are you able to attract talent? How are you able to retain it? Like, you have to be able to constantly invest in yourself, which is also a part of the hustle. So if you're not willing to do all of that, I don't believe that you're going to be successful, or it's going to be a stressful journey that it's not necessary. So.
And bridging the gap between the Black consumer and the Black business, what do you want? What's something that you would say you want customers to know before they come to you as a business, so that the process can go smoothly?
I would just say, I would just ask for people to just have understanding. Like, you know, one thing that I would say people don't acknowledge is the fact that when you have somebody who is an entrepreneur, we're still growing our business, but we still have to deal with a lot of personal things that go on behind the scenes, right? And, you know, we have not been able to, perhaps we haven't been able to master, right? Like master, you know, that level of, you know, being able to keep your personal private and, you know, and having it transfer over to, you know, the professional side, your business side. So I would just say, like, with my clients is, you know, understanding that, you know, I try to show that the intentions are good, right? Meaning that, you know, I try to show the behind the scenes. I try to, when I have clients, I try to give them the experience of allowing them to get to know me, so they know that it's coming from a genuine place, regardless on if I know them or not. It's because I want to make them, you know, happy. I would just say that, you know, just have patience, because sometimes there's so many things that go behind the scenes, and, you know, we just trying to do our best. So, you know, so just have patience, because a lot of times I'm not saying I'm a one man show, because my team is amazing, right? Amazing. I would not be here if I did not have them. But there's still a large portion of it that I'm still trying to delegate and trying to manage, that right now is still a one woman show, while I still have to go through all the regular parts of life. So,
boss, how has networking helped you, especially as a Black business owner, really grow?
So it's helped me out a lot. Like, I think that there's power in networking and also joining networking organizations. And so I had to look at it differently, because originally when I went to join the organizations, I was looking to gain clients, right? I don't feel like, at least as of right now, I have not found, like, I've had a couple of people that I've been able to get as clients, but once I just kind of had like a different shift, like I shifted my mind to say, okay, what can I take away from these organizations, as opposed to, you know, how much money could I get? I saw the value in learning from other entrepreneurs. There's value in being in different spaces, to just kind of like be in the room. And so the networking is big, because you really have to create your own opportunities. And if you're a person who's just going to kind of sit back and watch, then it's going to be pointless for you. But if you are a person who says, you know, let me be uncomfortable and go out and communicate with these people, you never know what kind of opportunities you can get. You know, you never know who would refer you years down the road. And so I think that it's just important to always be, especially because it's a part of the hustle, be around like-minded people to learn, and then also just create experiences for yourself, because they definitely turn around and help you in the future.
You know, staying on this whole thing of networking, I think about the Rutgers. I said at the beginning, you know, I'll let you, you know, throw the diamond up and the deltas and everything like that. when we were at Rutgers, it wasn't for me. I had personal stuff. You know, my mom had passed in my time being there at Rutgers. So it wasn't really for me, my headspace and all that other stuff. But, you know, I remember you being in it and then, you know, transitioning and all that good stuff. And I want to give you space because I'm talking about Black excellence to really talk about how being a part of that organization has helped you in any way, especially being an entrepreneur and everything like that.
Okay. So I would say there's a certain level of, I don't want to say expectation, but like there's a level of success, right? There's a certain character that, you know, we're supposed to uphold, at least in my eyes. I feel like being a Delta, you know, in my opinion, it just means that it's excellence. It's like a, you know, it's Black, it's a Black successful woman that is, you know, dedicated to whatever her level of success is, you know. And so, one, I think that it helps build character. Two, it is a network in itself. And so I've had a lot of sorority sisters support me along the way, whether it's attending my events, hiring me for their events, or even just being like a role model or a big sister or a younger sister. I've been able to just create different relationships with like-minded women that has played a major role in my success story, I would say.
Amen. Yeah. The one thing, again, back then wasn't for me, blah, blah, blah. But one thing I like about you is the same people I see you with then, and they're all your sisters and stuff like that, are the same people I see you with now. And I was like, you know, I was like, that maybe, I don't want to say I missed the boat, but I was like, oh, I see what it's about now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not just about, you know, the campus being on and all that, be able to wear your colors and all that stuff. When I see the same people rocking out that they saying that they with then now, it's just like, oh, that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like it's really about like, so a lot of the girls that I hung out with that became my sorority sisters, we were already friends before we even got in the sorority. Mm-hmm. We all came in freshman year. And so we really watched each other grow. That's what it was about. We watched each other grow, and we went through like a lot of moments together. And so and we became adults. And so like you tend to have a different level of respect for people when you see some of the obstacles that they go through. And so yes, freshman year, even till now, we still are very, very strong. And part of it is because of the sorority, but part of it is because, you know, I would say that we were all meant to, we gravitated towards one another. So we all have like a special role within our group that is necessary. So.
That's dope. How, now, I mean, we talked about your transition 2018, 2019, you know, the 60,000 to over your head that you thought you were going to spend and all that good stuff. But how is it to really pull up, drop the work and say, this is my space. You know, I own this space. I can do what I want with this space. And would you suggest that others get into the event space business?
I don't do this. I don't just have an event space. I feel like that it's, and I've talked to other venue owners, right? Mm-hmm. And I think everybody kind of says the same thing. Like, I think some people think you could just get an event space and it's just going to take care of itself, but that's not how it goes. There's a lot of stuff that you have to worry about. And if you're doing it by yourself, then, you know, it's still managing the actual venue. It's still like, you know, I put on there, like I've had to get up there and get on a ladder and change filters and stuff that I didn't even want to do when I had a house. Like I'm, you know, so if you don't have like a maintenance person, like these are things that you have to worry about. If things break, like there's things, it's not just about allowing somebody to have your space. Right. So I would say that like I have the event space, but I also do the planning and I also do the decor. Mm-hmm. So I make money three different ways, which allows me to be able to still, I've had my event space for 4 years now, you know? So then I'm on for 6 years. So it allows me to be able to be successful. But if a person was just trying to have a space and, you know, that was it, I would say that you can do that with something else. Because in order for, like, I think that, you know, you have, people have to know that you're there, right? And you have to, there's upkeep and stuff like that. The whole promoting part of it is a big factor. So unless you have, like, a huge space that has all the bells and whistles and can sell itself, and then, you know, you have maybe like a marketing person that could just blast in and do whatever you do, then I would say yes. But if you're trying, if you're starting out small and, you know, you're trying to build, you know, build it from the ground up and stuff like that, I would just say you need, you know, you might want to make sure that you do something else with it.
You're in South Plainfield.
Yes.
The exact address eludes me, but I know you're in South Plainfield. How many people does fits into your space, and what type of capability does your space events have to, you know, facilitate?
So we could accommodate up to 80 people. And I mean, we've had all types of events. Like, I've even had small weddings here. It was really good during COVID, when you were having small intimate things, but, you know, baby showers, bridal showers, birthday parties. I even have packages, cause I try to think about ways to make it, you know, helpful and financially feasible for clients too. So we have some, packages that include decor as well. But we're located at 2201 South Clinton Avenue. We have a lot of parking, so that's not an issue. It's on the ground floor. It's all one level, so there's no issues with, you know, if there's anybody who's wheelchair accessible, like we could accommodate that, or wheelchair bound, accommodate that. But yeah, so it's a nice, beautiful white space, and you could make it to however you want.
Have you ever done anything? Do you have any packages, like, say, like some type of subscriptions? The type thing where, say, I just want to throw an event once a month, maybe, you know, like I said, like a, I don't know, a spoken word poetry jam or something like that. Do you have anything like that in the works, anything like that?
So that's definitely been something that has been on my mind to do, but I haven't rolled it out yet. So the answer is yet, just yes, just not right this second.
Coming soon.
Coming soon.
Coming soon. That's what it is. So now, did I read this right? Are you a personal trainer now too?
Yeah. So I know, right? This is why I never have any time, right? But I do personal training, but I am in the process of getting certified.
Okay.
So they told me I can start the process. So right now I am training three people. Three people. And I'd never thought that I was going to do it, but it's that passion of helping people. So I had a person who came to me, and I knew that it was a very vulnerable topic for her. And it took a lot for her to even ask me because of the type of person she mm-hmm. is. So I couldn't say no. I could not say no. And so we worked it out, and I'm the type that I'm like, I'm not going to just do something and not know what I'm talking about. Of course, I know how to work out, and I know how to, you know, I've worked out my whole life, right? But I just wanted to make sure I knew what I was talking about. So I am in the process of getting certified to be a personal trainer, and then also a nutrition as well. Mm. So I have other things in my mind when it comes to that. All of it is just because I want to help other people. I have a disabled brother right now that I really just want to help him. You know, I just want to help. So I'll leave it at that. So I have it. I'm doing this because what I want to do in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I have no qualms about telling people. You have seen me get DM'd, like, oh, look at bro, 08, look 07 over here. Come on now. Don't play with it, you know what I mean? Get out here snatched, you know what I mean? So I ain't mad at you. I hope that anytime I compliment a lady in the DMs, please understand, I'm heavy in the fitness. I love to see people taking care of themselves, you know what I mean? Because that's the environment I try to foster. If I see you taking care of yourself, that means I want to take care of myself, you know what I mean? And that energy is just proceeded, you know what I mean? And I tell everybody, like, you know what I mean? When I see one of my brothers getting it, you know what I mean? But like, yo, light work, you know what I mean? Or go ahead, man, because it's just a beautiful thing. And people don't realize how important fitness is to your aging process and just taking care of yourself. You know, I've had people come up to me with no disrespect to them. They look better than bruised because life, just life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, yo, how you still look the same outside of this bald head I got? I was like, listen, I said, just consistency. You know what I mean? I may slack off of here and there. Right. But I'm always on my way back to that gym because it's so important. You know, I mean, it's just a really big part of who I am. How can you correlate Black excellence and taking care of your health?
Okay, you're giving me all these questions. All right, so correlate Black excellence and taking care of your health. Well, I think that I truly believe that the way how you show up for yourself in one area of life is how you show up in other areas, right? Mm-hmm. And so I associate Black excellence with making sure that, you know, once again, investing in human capital, right? You know, being able to pivot and still be successful, you know, perseverance and all of that stuff. I feel like that once you're able to get through all those things and reach what you consider as a level of success, to me, that's what Black excellence is. It's kind of like being able to walk around with style and grace, right? You know, so that's what I look at as, you know, Black excellence. And then when it comes to like the fitness world, it's, you know, those personal things that happen in your life, it's like those are the obstacles, right? So, you know, whether it's, you know, you have kids, or if you have like, you know, you're just physically tired, like you have to be able to get through those things in order to make it to the gym. But are you investing in yourself? Are you investing in your physical, mental, you know, your health in that capacity? Because it's like, once you do that part of it, it's like I said, once you show up for the way you show up in yourself for the professional or the Black excellence part of it, it needs to translate over to your physical side as well, mm-hmm. or the fitness side as well. So I think that both of them are hand in hand. I think that, you know, when you do fitness, it allows you, at least for me, it brings a level of clarity, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's some things kind of like come, it becomes clear, and that's how you kind of figure out the other part of your life. It's because you're working through those challenges, whether it's through weights, whether it's running, whatever you got to do. But I think that they go hand in hand, and in order to be successful in one area, I think that you need to make sure that you're taking care of yourself and you're taking your entire life, the whole cycle of your life, seriously too. So
now, it can't hurt that, again, I alluded to earlier that you were still rocking out with the people you was rocking out with Rutgers. But I see you got the whole squad with you, everybody in shape. What's going on? How do I feel?
You know, it's contagious, right? Like, it's contagious. Like, you know, I think ultimately people want to feel good. And mm-hmm. once you get over, like, you know, when you're walking, talking, and breathing, like, fitness and you know, having that, like mental, I guess, just being in a positive mental space, I just think it's contagious. And I think that people, like, especially like the way that I work with my friends, like my energy, I've always been blessed to have great energy, right? And so when I'm around my people, my groups, it's, you know, I'm expressive. I'm able to show that they know all the obstacles that I've gone through over the years. Mm-hmm. So they're like, if you can get through this and still make it to the gym and still find success and happiness and stuff like that, then it's got to work to some capacity because you've had one heck of a run. So, mm-hmm. you know, and so some of them have already, everybody has already been in some kind of fitness or whatever, but like we've always kind of been back and forth, you know, in life, things happen. And so I think that we're just in an era of everybody's over 30, you know, everyone wants to make sure that they're in great health. You know, we're in the phase of, when I say we, all of us in our age bracket, we're in the phases of like some people just, you know, not make it anymore and people are passing away and stuff. And so you start to see that and you're like, you know what could I do to make sure that I live a healthy lifestyle and I live to my best ability? How could I not wake up with aches and pains, you know? So we all respect that and try to encourage one another. So,
well, there's two types of aches and pains, right? It's the ones we give ourselves when we're in the gym, or the ones we try to avoid later in life. I ain't gonna lie, I hate leg day, but I'll be walking around like, oh no stairs, please, elevators only. But you know what I mean? Hey, it is what it is. You know what I mean? Because I realize, like, sometimes people see me doing my running and jumping and stuff like that, and they be like, ouch, oh, I wish my knees could, this and that. And I be like, nah, I'm actually good. Like, I feel like, I don't feel like I did when I was at Rutgers, but I still feel like I can still, like the other day, the gym I go to now is in Fairless Hill, PA, but it's like a drive. So like, I'll do Uber and Lyft, Uber and Lyft up there and then Uber and Lyft back, you know what I mean? So at least I make money on the way back. And they have a full 100-yard field, or close to like 80-yard field inside. So I like the other day, I just went for a run. I was like, the last time I just went for a sprint. And, you know, to be above 30 and just going for a sprint, most people, they say, you know, after high school, you don't even sprint no more. So to be able to just go ahead and just do that, it just felt invigorating. Like, you know what I mean? That I still got that. And then it makes me want to continue to train and do certain things just so I can continue to do this, because I want to be that old dude that at the Penn Relays at 80 still running around the track or something like that, doing something, and they'd be like, how is he still doing it? It's like, nah, I just, you know, I committed to taking care of myself.
I really enjoy challenging myself. Like, I feel like with fitness, there's always some level of, you know, challenge that you could just, like, I create my own challenges. I don't compete with nobody else. I just compete with myself. I did 3 pull-ups this day. Can I get to 4? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, like, I just, you know, try to do different things, and I get bored easily. So I also, with fitness, there's so many things that you can do. So, but all that to say is that, you know, doesn't matter what age, I feel like the fitness, you could always be motivated because there's so many levels of fitness. Yeah. So,
You know, I'm gonna put this, you know, since we talk about like challenges and all this other stuff, I had this idea coming in here today, but I'm almost doubled down. Like, yeah, this is what I'm gonna do. Because usually the thing that makes my podcast or my show unique is that I don't just interview people, I work out with them. But
what you about to come either?
No. What I thought about was like just in the space of, you know, the Greek love and all that other stuff. I'm gonna try to set up a workout between you and the brother, because the brother I had yesterday, he owns his own facility. Now it's in North Jersey.
Okay.
But it's a big gym, and we're gonna do a group workout, the 3 of us, and, you know, get together and just go ahead and do it. You know what I mean? Because I already, me and him work out every once in a while anyways. I figured, you know, bring that female energy or lady energy into the mix, and let's do it. You know what I mean? Okay. And so definitely we're going to get that going. But we want to land this plane soon, because I know you're busy, got things to do. But one, I wanted to give anybody who's watching right now any questions or anything. If you got a question for Janina, please, you know, put it in the chat so that she can answer it, you know, as quickly, you know, as we can. And one, I just want to give you time to give a shout out to anything that needs to be followed, anything that you want to be supported in,
okay,
anything that's going on that's special right now. You know, I know like Valentine's Day is coming up, and I'm sure you got something going on or something, you know, whatever you need. This is your time, you know. Let's make it happen.
All right. So I would say, one, thank you to all those that tuned in. So I appreciate your support. But if you're not following, I do have a venue page, which is Create That Party Venue, as well as it was personal, but turned into a business page. So Lena _ fit and sexy AF, right? But I am passionate about fitness. So if you're looking to be inspired, I would say follow me on that page. And in terms of anything that's going on, so right now I am highlighting our toddler packages, which is for really ages 1 to 3 at the venue, trying something out where, you know, really trying to make it easy for parents. So if you have a toddler and you want to host an event for them or a party for them, then definitely reach out. Yeah, I can give you, we have some promotions going on. I have packages of all different price points. And then also what's big is that we do have our repass package too. And so that is something that I want to highlight because I try to just make it really easy for people as well. And so we actually have one coming up this weekend, but just want to highlight those two packages. Those are our new packages that we're rolling out, the repass and then the Tyler package.
So just make sure if you go follow all that stuff, if you need an event, a venue, something that you got to get done, you know, highlight Janina. She got it all. She can create it. She's into the details. You'll be able to listen to this. I'll have this on replay for YouTube, Spotify, and I think Apple Play. So I'll, you know, go through all the rigors of downloading and make sure that this episode is available for you to share. And anybody who wants to listen back, get some nuggets on how to, you know, get your own event planning business going, or maybe, just maybe, you want to join the team. You know, maybe you want to get have a mentor. You know, I'm sure Janina could use some help. You know what I mean? All hands on deck. You know,
that's actually how I got one of my people. She wanted to be, she wanted me to mentor her. I didn't have the time, but I said you could work for me, and that's how you could learn. And so we have a beautiful relationship. I am, one thing about me is that I am not afraid to share. I do not believe in competition, like feeling like that you have to compete with people just because you're in the same field. There is clients for everybody. I'm an open book. I would say that if you are in the events industry and you're looking to have, you know, to just speak with me and stuff like that, I'm an open book. I might ask you to buy me lunch, maybe, but that'll be it.
where you having lunch at? That's what we need to know.
I mean, it really depends. I'm a seafood girl, so as long as it's someplace where I can have a good, you know, good salmon, then, you know, I'm good with it.
Well, I had some salmon lunch, you know what I mean, over rice and veggies, because she's not eating nothing lemon cheese and nothing. Nope. All that. Cut it out.
Nope. We healthy over here.
There it is. I go, I had a surprise today. I had a little small fry. I was like, yo, I had a little fry bitch. I was like, yo, I just need a little something. That's it. Keep it moving. But the biggest thing with me is the bread. As long as I stay away from the bread, I'm good. And bread and donuts. I don't know what happened over the last couple of years, but I just become a donut guy. Like, I love donuts. And especially when Duck Donuts came into the picture, it's like, oh, this is not right. No. The donut just gets devoured. It's like, all right. So my 2020.
I've been trying, like, I've been putting together, different desserts that are, like, high-protein desserts, because I do have a sweet tooth as well. And so, I don't know when the next time I see you, but I've been mastering these high-protein brownies, and they're actually, they're good. And so, I've been, like, making some stuff for the people like us that are trying to stay in the fitness, like, trying to do well, but have a sweet tooth. So, we're going to figure it out.
When I set up the workout, you can bring some of the brownies to the workout, and we'll do a little cheers. We'll do a little cheers to the high protein brownie. You know, like, the crazy thing is, I'm not even a big chocolate lover, but I do love brownies for some reason. So if it's a healthy brownie, I'm here for it. You know what I mean? But I just want to thank you again for taking the time out of your busy schedule to just come chat with me. I hope that this is as beneficial for you as it is for me to hear, listen, and just really learn about your journey. And I just pray that, you know, the rest of 2024 goes well, that 60,000, that you make it back three times over, so that, you know what I mean, we can all win, you know what I mean. And I just want to thank anybody who tuned in, watched. You know, this is the House of Boom. I'm really getting rid of the word podcast, but for now, it's the House of Boom podcast. It's the House of Boom show. I'm still getting used to saying show. And thank you again for watching. And look forward to the replay. And we are out. So y'all have a great Tuesday. Almost said Monday. Y'all have a great Tuesday, rest of the week. And I'll talk to y'all soon. I'll be live again. I'm not sure when my next live is, but you'll see. Make sure you follow me so you can figure out the next live for the celebration of Black Excellence. And that's it, man. I'll see y'all later. Peace. Bye. Live, Rachel.